This is the Revitalize My Church podcast, created to help churches navigate change and reorient to a new and healthy future. This episode is hosted by the Executive Director of Assist Church Expansion, Nathan Bryant, and his ministry colleague, Bart Blair.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Revitalize My Church podcast. My name is Bart Blair, and I am joined by my co-host and ministry partner, Nathan Bryant. Nathan, thanks for joining me on another episode of the show.
Well, it's great to be here, Bart. Looking forward to this conversation.
It has been one that we've been working up to here over the course of the last couple of months. So if you've been tracking with us in our podcast, we've been releasing a couple of episodes a month. And one of those episodes each month for the last few months has been focused on what we call our five big rocks of revitalization. We work in a field where we have the opportunity to walk alongside churches that are renewing their ministry, refreshing their ministry, churches that have been in a season of decline or stagnancy and are looking for a new and different future. And so over the course of the last several years, we've had an opportunity to really kind of flesh out what we consider to be really some pillars to what it's going to take to help a church move from where it is to where it needs to be. And if you haven't listened to the episodes leading up to this one, it would be really important that you do go back and listen to the other episodes. I'm going to give a quick recap on the first four big rocks before we get into the fifth big rock here. The first big rock is that of unity. A church, in order to move forward, is going to have to be unified. And so we did a deep dive on what unity in the church looks like and what you're actually unifying your church around, and even some tactics or some strategies on how to build that unity in the church. Most importantly, we talked about how unity is a biblical principle. And I think that that's one of the things that it stands out to me every time I talk about unity with a local church and their need for unity and going forward is it is right out of Jesus's mouth, that he wants the church to be unified. So that's a really important big rock, the first and foundational big rock. Second big rock is leadership. Church cannot move from where it is to where it needs to be without visionary leadership and someone steering the ship and helping the team move forward. The third big rock is team. We do encourage churches to develop a vision team or a strategic vision team, some sort of team to help that leader determine the course for the future of the church. Not just that one solo leader, he doesn't have all the gifts necessary to move the church forward. He doesn't maybe necessarily have all the perspectives and experiences that bringing a team together can afford. And so we really emphasize the need for a team revisioning the church together. The fourth big rock is the plan. The plan is actually, we're going to talk about baking cakes here in just a few minutes. It's the recipe for the cake. If you're going to bake a cake, you've got to have a recipe. You've got to know what all the different components and pieces are that go into making an outstanding cake. We want to have a holistic picture of ministry. We need to know who God has designed us to be, how we are going to live out our fruitfulness in our community, who God's called us to reach, how we're going to reach those people. We need to have an outreach strategy, an implementation strategy or an assimilation integration strategy, a discipleship pathway, leadership multiplication. All those things need to be built into our plan. And today, the fifth big rock, we use the word launch to describe this big rock. And as Nathan and I were talking before we even started recording, there's maybe some misunderstanding sometimes. Maybe it's not the best word, but it's the word we've been using for the last half dozen years. So yeah, we're probably going to keep using this word, but we want to unpack the word launch. The fifth big rock is launch. Nathan, why don't you start by giving us your definition of what this launch season actually is for a church?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We were talking, like we said before, but I think of some Bible illustrations, like, you know, when they built the tabernacle, you know, we think of the actual inauguration of the tabernacle when it was completed. But there was a phase when God gave the design of the tabernacle. There was a phase when the people had to sacrifice all of their belongings and goods and gold and whatever to bring for material goods. And then there was the phase of all the skilled people who had to come and actually craft the tabernacle. They had to make the fabrics, they had to make all the gold. The same thing when they conquered the land. When they went into conquered the land, they were waiting to get in the land forever and ever and ever. And they go, once we get to the land, but they got to the land, but that wasn't the end. That was just the beginning of that next phase of actually conquering it. And they had to go and defeat all these different enemies in order to actually get the promise that God had given them. And so I see, when I think about the launch, you know, we're often thinking about when is that public service going to be when are we going to be seen in this new way and reach our community in a new and effective manner? There's a lot that has to go before that actually can happen. It's like we were talking about even a rocket ship before we think of the launch of the rocket going up in the air, but a lot went on before they actually pressed the button to let the rocket go up in the air. And to me, the bigger thing about the launch is all the preparation required, all the engagement, all the leadership development, all the training, all the setting up teams, all the organization. Like we made a plan, but now we have to execute on that plan. We have to build the team. We have to build the promotion, write the discipleship stuff. We have to think about an integration strategy. We have to have all the, everything we're doing has to be done before we actually launch. And so there's so much work to do between knowing what you're going to do and actually getting to the end goal of actually launching that new vision of who you are to the community.
Right. So when we're working with churches and helping them develop their plan, you know, it's a group of people, the team that the leader has built, sitting around a room, dreaming of what the church could be. And it's important. Let's go back to, the 1960s and the dream to put a man on the moon. Right. Yeah. There was a whole lot of conversation, a lot of discussion, and a lot of vision casting that had to happen before before we put a man on the moon. And then there had to be a holistic plan developed and then executed, right? Yep. There was, as you were just saying, there's so many pieces that have to come together. But the launch, getting that rocket ship off the ground, while there was an incredible celebration around it, it was only phase one, right? There were still other steps that had to be employed. And so
phase 10, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to take all the phases before you get there. And they got other phases after that. But we phase 10, we think of launches of phase one, but no, in order to launch, you have to do all this other stuff.
And the goal is not simply to get the thing off the ground, right? It's to accomplish the purpose that God has called you to. So, I use the analogy of crafting a recipe. You have a recipe for a cake, you're going to bake a cake, and you have to get all the ingredients, and the ingredients have to go in a particular order. And there's a whole process involved in that. And pulling the cake out of the oven, again, that's not the goal. The goal is actually to enjoy the cake. And we're going to, again, get into cake a little bit more. Now, one of the things that I like to emphasize with the launch, and I guess I go here because it is against my natural instinct as a leader. You've worked with me for many, many years, and I am the type of leader who will set goals and work to accomplish those goals, build a plan, execute the plan. And when the plan is implemented and executed, and I just move on to the next thing, right? I check the box and I move on. And what I've learned in leadership over the years is that most people that you're leading need some stake in the ground moment, an opportunity to sort of pause, recognize how far they've come, celebrate before moving on forward. And, we talked about this before and put some things down in our notes here about, there are moments all throughout biblical history where God told people to stop and celebrate. He told them to commemorate, right? Yeah. Joshua and the Israelites crossing the Jordan, they stacked 12 stones to commemorate that moment. Now, it wasn't the end of the journey. It was just a part of the process. Jacob at Bethel, it wasn't the end of his journey. It was just a part of his journey. And so this date that we have churches put on the calendar, and we do. So let's just clarify that. When we're working with a church, we do say, hey, let's put a date on the calendar so that we have something to work towards, so that as we are actually beginning to implement our God-honoring plan for how we're going to be the church that he's called us to be, we have something tangible to work towards. If we don't put a date on the calendar, I don't know how we'll ever get things done.
I'd say it's a huge thing because it really motivates, it clarifies, and really focuses the energy to get to that end goal, right? So as we throw something out there as a timeline, now we can always change it. Nobody knows but us really internally. The world doesn't know until we announce it. But it gives us something really tangible to really get our focus honing in on what is most important for us to actually execute on that day. That's a really big deal.
Yeah. So if you're working with a church, Nathan, and you're working towards this launch or this season of launch after the plan has been built, how would you prioritize the things that the church is actually working on in that season? Let's say we put the plan, it's all on paper. We're going to give ourselves 12 months to sort of now build teams and implement. How would you prioritize the things that you were having the church work on?
But the first thing I'd be working on is getting the leaders together for the teams that are going to be implemented. So it's like when you're talking about making a cake, you use that illustration. We use it here. We don't want to put the cake together until we have all the pieces. And that's why we don't want you actually starting to implement until you finish making your plan, because you don't want to have a half-baked plan and you're implementing something that's actually going to affect something else that you didn't think about. So the planning process is to get you to think big picture and understand all you're trying to accomplish. But now when you have the plan, now we have to execute. And the primary thing you need to execute on, in my view, is the leadership team needed to head all those different spaces to actually effectively accomplish this together. Because the people you have on your vision team, they may be great at making a plan, but they may be horrible at leading teams. So you need a next step is who are the people that we need to ask God to lead us to, you know, put in those positions to start getting ready to organize. Because once we get the teams together, they have to be envisioned towards it. And then we have to start to get those teams to get ready to execute on their part of the plan. So I think the team leaders is the most important piece next.
Yeah. Now, we did emphasize this in our team episode. We talked about the fact that the people that you pull together as your vision team are not necessarily the people who are going to do all of the implementation. Now, right. If I can think of two specific churches that I'm working with right now, one church has, 120, 130 people in it, and their vision team, it's pretty clear for them as they're building the plan out. They've already got in mind who some of the people are, right, who will step in and maybe lead some of those roles. But I'm also working with other churches that have like fewer than 40 people in them. And the people that are on that vision team, the people who are on that vision team are the most capable and the most likely to be actually leading up some of the different elements of the strategic
plan. And that doesn't mean that those people won't be serving in those different teams, but they're not necessarily going to be the ones leading it.
Right.
And so, I mean, one thing I would say, which probably needs to be said, is that once you've got the plan, now you have to bring that plan back to the elders. The elders need to approve it, and you need to bring it back down to the leadership of the church and then to the congregation. So everybody's excited about it, everybody's approving it, and we're moving forward. I'm assuming that we have an approved plan. So I don't want to miss that step. But once we have that, now it's the implementation. I think the first step is to getting the teams. We have to get the teams, the leaders of those teams, and then those teams starting to form and organize so we can start to execute. In operation, in what teams need to be doing what first is, you need to get your outreach team going, because let's say we're going to launch in September. Well, I need to be doing stuff all summer that's promoting and engaging outreach to catalyze what we're going to have for an effective launch. So we can't just throw a billboard up or run a Facebook ad and think, oh, we're going to no, we actually need to be doing stuff. So I want to get that outreach team. That's probably the most important one on the front end. I'm going to have my first impressions team, my worship team. I'm going to be working on my sermon series I'm going to do, the promotion stuff that we're going to do. But we have to have our integration strategy down. We might have to write some materials for that, some stuff together. But then we have to have our discipleship pathway. But that's not so critical yet in terms of executing on it. But we do have to have that getting ready to go. And so the same thing with our leadership development strategy. All those things need to be in place. And the teams that are going to run everything, children's ministry, the worship team, the setup and teardown team. I mean, if you're in a, not a shared space, you have to be in something, you have to tear down every Sunday. Who knows? But whatever the teams are, who the team leaders are, and getting those teams organized, we want to start then forming those teams and getting them clear on what their vision is, how it applies, how it's connected to the rest of it, and what their roles are, and get them so that they're actually functioning. And I encourage churches to think about, just like on a church plant, I encourage guys to have a number of preview days that are just really helping those teams to execute with some level of competency. So before the big day comes, they're already got things ironed out. They figured out what they're doing, and they can deliver with excellence. So that's just, that's really focusing kind of on the Sunday morning experience. But a lot of what we're doing is getting that moving.
Well, my experience has been with churches, and we talked about this early on, that a lot of churches, their instinct is to jump to the, what do we do to reach lost people?
Right.
And so you mentioned the emphasis on having your outreach team and your outreach strategy sort of, fleshed out and operating. I will say, equal-handedly, you have to have an integration or engagement pathway completely fleshed out before or at the same time that you're doing that. Because the reality is, you know, no matter how many new relationships we initiate through our outreach initiatives and our outreach strategies, if we're not ready to meet, welcome, and engage new people, if and when they actually show up to our weekend worship services, we've missed opportunities. So we're going to do a little bit later on this year, a complete episode on building an engagement pathway, how to integrate people into the body life of your church. So we're not going to get into the weeds of that in this particular episode, but those are, to me, that's how I would prioritize when I'm working with a church. It's like, okay, let's know if we've identified who God has called us to reach and how we're going to reach them. Let's start to implement that plan. But secondly, we need to know how we're going to integrate those new people that connect with us into the body life of our church. And when it comes to the discipleship pathway, the piece that I'm going to emphasize most earnestly that gets done is the evangelistic component to it, which is first steps for a person who doesn't yet follow Jesus. So if you've gone out and you've done this outreach event and you actually have somebody by God's grace that shows up to your church on Sunday morning, what do you do? Number one, to get that person connected and engaged relationally. And number two, how do you put that person on their next steps towards a relationship with Jesus? So those three things for me are going to be the top priority. There's obviously a lot of other stuff that we want to build out in our discipleship pathway in terms of how we're helping people grow into a better reflection of Jesus and live God-honoring, biblically-centered lives. But if people don't know Jesus, the rest of that discipleship pathway doesn't really matter. And that's the goal of the whole thing here. The goal of the whole thing here is to bring people into our community who aren't yet following Jesus. So
the other thing I would say to you, Bart, is that when you're thinking about your launch strategy, I like to get people to think about a 90-day launch plan. So they're thinking through, how are we going to build momentum within the congregation for what we're doing, so that they're excited? Because the without question, the most effective means of bringing people to your church is to people inviting their friends, right? So you're trying to create a place that they want to invite their friends to, and that will, they'll move them towards Jesus and ultimately know him and follow him right there at the church. So But what happens typically is guys will focus in on their launch. Let's say it was September 15th, they're going to launch their relaunch their church. Well, that's great. They launched, they promoted it, they had all kinds of outreach stuff, and then they stop. But what tends to happen is a person who's lost in your community, they saw your information and stuff, but it's going to take them seeing it five or six times before they even do anything about it or even know that you and exist. Whereas, you know, we're like, oh, we did this amazing stuff, and they said, no. So what I encourage guys to do is think, okay, I'm going to launch on this Sunday. I'm going to have maybe a 4-week series that's totally outreach focused. Then I'm going to go to an in-reach focused series to try to keep those people retained. And then I'm going to do another outreach, and then an in-reach, and then another outreach. And so ideally, you want to kind of to position it. So Christmas, let's say we see the fall to the Christmas. You know, we're doing an outreach in the fall, then we're going to go an in-reach, and then we're going to really push that Christmas season. So we're going to try to build momentum with our congregation and with the community we're trying to reach as we're engaging them. So lots of times guys focus all their energy, all their resources, all their budget on the one day when they really need to be thinking about creating a momentum strategy towards growth in their launch opportunity.
Okay, since we're talking launch, we're calling it launch, and we've already used the space, the NASA analogy. Yeah. I'm not an expert in this, so somebody's going to listen to this and they're going to tell me I'm totally wrong. But here's the next part of my analogy. Okay, you have booster rockets that are designed to get you off the ground.
Yeah.
But once the ship is off the ground, it actually loses those rockets, right? They're gone. They're in the past.
And
it's a different set of thrusters that get the ship to the next place that it's going to go. And so if you think about things in phases like that, and I like that 3 to 4 month strategy that you have, whether you're doing sort of your relaunch season from September to December, or maybe you're doing a January through Easter or something of that nature. I don't advise post Easter through the summer. That would not be a good idea.
Let's go for the lowest time of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, summer's a great opportunity to do some outreach, some community outreach, especially if you live in a community where, you know, winter makes it difficult to get outside, be outside and do things outside. The summer can be a great opportunity to have a high level of visibility in your community and look for other events and activities that are happening through the summer that your church can partner in and be a part of. And we'll have other episodes of this podcast that'll focus on different outreach initiatives and different outreach strategies. And so we don't want to get into the weeds of that here. But again, I like that analogy. You need one set of thrusters to get you off the ground and get you going. And that relaunch Sunday is really it. But once you're off the ground, you're not done. You really do need to continue to have, you know, some fuel in the engine to push you forward. And there are different ways of doing that. You can be as creative as you want. We recently relaunched one of the churches that we're partnering with who they knew in a very multicultural community with people from all kinds of different parts of the world that whenever they do something that's international focused, like an international Sunday or world Sunday or something of that nature, they'd have a lot of people show up who wouldn't show up on an ordinary Sunday. And so that's basically what they did. They did their relaunch Sunday. And then within a few weeks after that did sort of an international Sunday celebration, celebrating the nations. Yeah. So it gave them another little boost after the initial boost. And they connected with more people after that, that they might not have ordinarily connected with, and then push on towards Christmas, which is another season that you have another opportunity to connect with people that you might not connect with otherwise. Yep. But having that integration pathway or that integration plan completely built being ready, it's an important part because retention is really important. You know, it's one thing. I led a church for a while myself that we had new people show up every single Sunday for a really long period of time. But when the back door is as wide open as the front door, you don't see the kind of growth and traction that you want to see as a church. Right. So it's really important that you have a good back door.
And I would say it this way too, Bart, like, you know, we're preparing as God's people to make disciples and we're asking God to send us people who are searching for him. And so how ready should we be and how much effort should we give to really be our best and to be ready to steward the people that God sends us? I think oftentimes guys are so focused on just maybe the message or something, one thing specifically, but I want us to focus on the people because God is, by his Holy Spirit, leading those people to you through the people in the church, inviting them or however he is doing that by his Spirit. Now, once they actually come to our gathering in whatever place it is, what are we doing for them to take them to the next level of moving towards Jesus? How are we stewarding that gift that God has given us as someone he sent to us by his Spirit for us to steward towards their spiritual journey? So I think we have to really take that seriously and prepare in every way we can so that we can not only give them a great experience when they come, but we want to move them closer towards Jesus and connect with us to stay with us, to know him and follow him for sure.
That's very well said. And very subtly, I think you re-emphasized the need for a team because the pastor, the lead pastor, is only going to be able to focus on certain parts of it. He's going to be wired naturally to focus on certain parts of it. And that's why you need that holistic team put together with all the people empowered and equipped to use the gifts and talents that God has given them to help move the church forward. Lots of buy-in, lots of participation, lots of energy and excitement when people have had an opportunity to be a part of building the plan and implementing the plan and ultimately getting to that relaunch date. Nathan, as we wrap this episode up, which we need to do, why don't you share your, I'll call it your world famous cake baking analogy. We've already talked about baking cakes. I'll say it's world famous. It's world famous in our really small circle of influence, but it's one that we've preached a lot. Why don't you share this analogy?
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about this whole thing kind of wraps up the five big rocks, which is unity. We have to unify the church. We have to find a great leader. We have to build a great team, make a great plan. And then we've got to execute. We've got to launch this whole thing. And I use the illustration of it. We're going to throw a big party at my house. And of course, during COVID was a big deal because we couldn't have anybody in the house. So the first time we had people at the house, it was like, oh, we've got to clean the house. Right? People come into your house, it was right during COVID or whatever, and you had 50 people show up, you're in big trouble because the house is probably a mess. Nobody can have a place to sit because you weren't ready for them to come. There's no food for them. So it was going to be a horrible experience. But if we think about people coming, we're going to have this big launch Sunday. I want to invite people for sure, but then I have to clean the house, set the table, bake the cake, and then I can open the door. And oftentimes we're trying to open that door and the house isn't clean, the table isn't set, there's no food for people to come to enjoy, and the experience is going to be horrible. So when we think about these five big rocks and we think about launching or relaunching the church, we really want to get everything ready so that when we invite people to come, that we're ready for them. And that's really the illustration that we like to use.
And I love the illustration. And the thing to keep in mind is that ready doesn't mean perfect. No. Because we're not perfect. The church is not going to be perfect. Ready does not mean perfect. Because that's the reality. In some cases, you know, you're not going to have all of your plan completely built and everything executable. But if you have a high level of awareness of what those key components are that you do need to have implemented and straightened out and organized, you know, working with a church that realized they were wanting to reach families with children and their nursery had not been used in decades. It was filled with furniture and toys that would probably not meet current safety, health and safety standards. And it was just kind of junky. And so one of the first things they did was they said, you know, we need to clean this facility up. We need to make this room a better experience for those that we're planning, that we're expecting and hoping will come. Yeah. Now, the cosmetic components of the building are only a part of the process. And hopefully, if you've listened to us talk about these five big rocks up to this point, you realize that it's not just about cosmetic changes. It is about cultural changes, a cultural shift in your church, a shift of focus, a heart shift, so that we're aligned better with Jesus, so that we can love on and lead people to him that he died for. That's Absolutely. The goal. That's the plan. So, hey, Nathan, thanks. This has been a lot of fun. For those of you who have made it all the way to the end of this episode, thank you for making it all the way to the end of this episode. If you haven't yet subscribed, make sure that you do that so that you don't miss future episodes. If you click over to our website, which is revitalizemy.church, you'll find some additional resources and other things that might help you in the process. And hey, if you're finding that this content is helpful for you, share it with somebody else and or leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, because that'll help work the algorithmic system of the internet and more people will find the podcast. So thanks again for joining us on the Revitalize My Church podcast.